And a very good afternoon to you. I'm Valerie Richardson, and welcome to WPKN's Mic Check, coming to you every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 p.m. I'm usually here on the fourth Sunday of the month with a diverse roster of hosts who present a wide range of topics for discussion, focusing on global, national, and international regional issues and their effect on our local community. Just as the phrase Mic Check was used to mobilize people to create a human microphone during the Occupy movement, this weekly program amplifies our community's many voices and brings them to the airwaves. This is a show that is podcast here from WPKN, so all segments do remain available for you to hear. And we do come to you as numerous hosts, and I'm joined actually this afternoon by the usually who is here on the first Sunday afternoon, and that's Luis Luna. Hi, Luis.
Hi, Valerie. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very, very excited to speak to you about this issue today, because I think of, as we describe this program, as a program that discusses global, national, and issues and its their effects on our regional community. I think there is nothing that is more crucial and critical right now than the immigration issue. And this is an issue with which you have worked quite a bit, both professionally and as an activist and as a volunteer. We do bring a lot of information about this issue during the Barricada show, which is here on the first, second, and third Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., most often in Spanish. So I really want to talk about what's going on. I know that you're also very involved in working to make Bridgeport a sanctuary city, as New Haven already is. I want to talk about that, sort of the larger issue, what's happening with the changes in the Trump policy from what had been in action under the Obama policy. And I also want to talk about how people can get involved. That was it was interesting that the last segment between the lines this afternoon with Unidad Latina en Acción was also talking exactly about the same issue and exactly about how people can get involved. So I think that's what I'm hearing from a lot of friends and people who are in the community who are not directly affected by this, but are seeing their neighbors, who are talking to their neighbors and really, really want to help out. So maybe to start with, you could sort of talk about where we're at today in Connecticut. Are we seeing ICE raids? What's happening?
So just to give a quick context, the Trump administration had recently sent out some memos through the Department of Homeland Security that broadened the priority of deportation, meaning that folks in the past would be target of ICE if they had committed some felonies, if they had committed some other types of serious crimes. Now, with this last two DHS memos, almost everybody is a target now. So if you were to go over a red light, and you might be targeted. And not only that, if you crossed the border illegally, you are also a target of deportation. They don't care if you served in the military. They don't care if you have any children that were born here. They don't care if you have lived here for 10, 20 years. They are targeting all of the immigrant community. Now, that being said, what we have seen at the national level is local initiatives to make cities sanctuary cities, which means that there is no communication between local officials, including the police and the fire department, with federal officials. So a few weeks ago, we started a campaign here in Bridgeport on making Bridgeport a sanctuary city. Because the whole country and here in Connecticut, people have been very engaged to resist the Trump administration. We have seen a pretty positive response from folks here in Bridgeport. We had our first city hall resolution put before the city council on February 6th. We had over 100 people. I think there might have been 150 people that were at city hall We had engaged folks who came to this city hall meeting to work towards making Bridgeport a sanctuary city by means of calling the city council, having those conversations. That's where we are, more or less, with the sanctuary city. I really like the idea of having municipalities really take a stance and taking a strong initiative to have our local governments be the local sort of way that we can resist this administration. So that has been really great. But yeah, I mean, I think we have seen a lot of folks who have been engaged. And I work for an organization here in Bridgeport called Make the Road Connecticut. We're a community-based organization. We work with immigration issues. And right now we are working very hard to hopefully have this limited to no communication between our local officials and the federal government.
There were news reports a couple of weeks ago about a number of people having been rounded up and deported. I think there were 600 to 700 throughout the country. What happened here in Connecticut? Do you know specific cases that people were targeted and removed?
So the ICE has not been very present in Connecticut. One of the reasons is in 2013, the state of Connecticut passed a law called the Trash Tax, which limits the communication between local officials and federal officials. It was codified at the legislature. The state is very well organized with activists. So whenever there is a raid, I think that we hear it very quickly. Also, when folks are detained and unjustly put in deportation proceedings, the community has been very good at pressuring local representatives, at pressuring the national congressmen and women and senators to be able to put pressure in ICE to have folks released. But there has been deportations, many deportations here in Connecticut. We want to strengthen the Trust Act. Right now, the legislature is in the middle of the legislative session, and we want to make sure that we strengthen the Trust Act. Also, last week, the Governor Malloy, under Governor Malloy, has issued some legal guidelines for cities and for local police chiefs to be able not to follow some federal immigration requests by ICE. So we are lucky in some ways to live in Connecticut because we have we have a pretty organized immigrant rights organization community, and also we have legislation that is somewhat progressive in comparison to other states.
And I should say also that we really haven't covered this issue that much with our many, many listeners on Long Island. So if you are someone on Long Island who's also working with this issue and would like to contact me at valrichardson@wpkn.org, I will really would love to speak to someone over there about what's going on and what sort of organizing that they are doing. So for yourself, and I did want to mention, I'm glad that you mentioned about our Governor Malloy and some of his statements from last week, for which he was soundly dressed down by Sean Spicer at the White House, and I know he was also on Fox News and came under a lot of fire, but I applaud him standing up for that, as he also stood up for the rights of transgender students this past week. So good for our governor. So with your current actions here in Bridgeport, what needs to happen for the sanctuary city to be declared in Bridgeport, and what rights would that grant for people?
So the the next Century City Committee meeting is going to be on the 7th of March. So we want to have a big contingent of folks present at this meeting. We want to make sure that the committee, so the resolution went to the Committee of Public Safety and Transportation. So we want to make sure that that committee sees that people do want a Century City, and that we want to make sure that folks who are undocumented can cooperate with police and will not be afraid to call the police in case that something is happening. Now, I want to touch on what Sean Spicer said, which was that he was making he was referring to what had happened last week with a gentleman who killed and kidnapped her daughter, and ended up on a four-state chase. They finally got him in Pennsylvania. The person who was killed, it's not clear why she didn't want to contact the police to report this man, but we're assuming it was because she was afraid to call the police. So what this resolution would do is that it will break that barrier where folks are comfortable calling the police, where they are not afraid to call the police because they might think that the police might call ICE on them. So from a public safety point of view, we really need to make sure that our communities feel safe contacting the police, that the police is there for the community and not doing the job of the federal government, which brings our communities to a safer place. Because folks will be more comfortable calling the police.
I'm Valerie Richardson. You are listening to listener-supported WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM. And we're online at WPKN.org. I'm on the line right now, or on the line with me, is Luis Luna. Luis is one of our programmers here at WPKN. He's on the third Thursday afternoon of every month. And he's also a WPKN mic check host here on the first Sunday at 5:30. I guess that's actually next Sunday. And we're talking about some of the really dire possibilities with the current direction that the Trump administration is taking its crackdown on undocumented immigrants. And some of the stories that we're hearing, I mean, these are people's lives, people who have lived here for decades and decades. And we're hearing stories of children who come home and their parents have been taken. What is happening is not being done. Is being done very heartlessly. In fact, I saw a New York Times article today that talked about how a lot of the federal agents are now feeling so much more empowered. We're talking about human beings and children and families. And I think that's one of the things I really wanted to talk about this afternoon, too, is that for so many people who are hearing about this happening, who have friends that they have known for years, who they love dearly and want to help, who even if they don't know a person specifically, they really want to be involved. And what can people do? I'm hearing of organizations that are encouraging even acts of civil disobedience. There are organizations that are also just asking people to go online. WeAreHereToStay.org, which is encouraging people to say, "I will stand with people who are facing these issues." So, what are you seeing, and what are you telling people?
What I see is that folks really want to get involved and really want to make sure that they are the agents of change in this administration, or that folks can do and do something at the local level here in Bridgeport. We're working very hard for the Sanctuary City campaign. So I encourage you to come and visit us. You can visit our website or like us on Facebook, or come to this. We have a general meeting this Wednesday at 6 p.m. At our office at 850 State Street here in Bridgeport. We'll be talking about some defense committees that we're going to be setting up when ICE comes. So we want to make sure that we have the community on high alert, that if they see ICE doing a raid, that they will immediately call a chain of numbers, so then we can quickly mobilize to the scene and then see hand-to-hand to, or see what is happening and take names or whatever we need to do to make sure that we have the information if someone is taken away or that we might stop the ICE fans from leaving the place if we need to or whatever we need to do. So our page on Facebook, it's Make the Road CT, and you'll find us there. We're always updating our page with the events that we are having here in Bridgeport. Also, our website is maketheroadct.org, where we have updated information on the things that we are doing here in Bridgeport. Most importantly, I think for folks who are not in Bridgeport, who might be in Long Island, who might be in Haven, is that it's important to look at what organizations are doing work in your communities and just go to their meetings. You know, just strap in and say, hey, you know, I'm here to help. I want to make sure that I am doing something. We are in a moment where we see the urgency and that not only immigrant communities are being attacked, but the environment, families, the LGBTQ community, women, all of these groups who previously might not have felt the threat of immigrants who we have felt the pressure and the deportations for many years. We are seeing this. We are seeing the attack on all of these other groups, not so subtle as it was before, but you know, direct attacks. We can only see what the administration has appointed as its secretaries for the different departments to see what direction they're going to take on their policies. So I think what we need to do as communities is to be engaged with our local organizations and to see what they're doing, and also, you know, just to kind of just drop in into whatever things are happening, marches, sit-ins, demonstrations. You'll find folks, and then they will encourage you to be active, and then they'll point you to the direction where you need to be.
It was interesting listening to that last segment on Between the Lines. They were talking about the groups that are working in New Haven and had gone into neighborhoods in Fairhaven and canvassed and are handing out kits to people, letting people know that if there are raids, this is what you need to do. These are numbers you can call. This is how you can respond. These are the rights that you do have. Has anything like that been happening in Bridgeport?
No, but I think I am. I'm going to. So I did have conversations with some of the folks that are from Cavendish this weekend and the weekend before. So I think we're going to replicate that canvassing effort in Bridgeport. Again, if we do, if we end up doing some canvassing, you know, please visit our website or our Facebook, and we'll have some information there. But I think it's a great idea to go into the neighborhood and talk to Latino business owners and go into the traditionally Hispanic neighborhoods and just kind of be there and speak to folks. I think that's probably something that we need to do, and you know, we'll probably get on that very quickly.
I'm Valerie Richardson. You're listening to listener-supported WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM. We're online at WPKN.org, and we do make podcasts out of all of our public affairs shows, and this will be going onto onto SoundCloud. And I'm speaking with Luis Luna, who is a WPKN programmer. He does a lot of volunteer work in the community. He's also involved professionally with the group Make the Road, which is, are they based out of New York?
Yes. So there's Make the Road New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
So it's a regional group. And are you guys working very directly right now with a lot of different people in the community?
Yeah. So our base, for our group is we have an immigrant base, mostly undocumented. So we are working to what the issues are more pressing to those communities. So we work with youth, we work with parents, we work with workers here in the community. We're not a service oriented organization. We are here to organize these different groups of folks to be able to build leadership, and so we can actually make change within our different communities.
I know you and I have been talking a lot off air about WPKN and our role during this new Trump era, and what we can do. And I've also been talking to Richard Hill and Scott Harris about setting up a part of our website that will have information that's relevant to a number of issues. As you were saying, it's not just immigration; it's women's rights, environmental rights. So much that's going on right now, where rights of many groups are being chipped away, and we're going to provide information for different organizations, and certainly for your organization. And I think we could also out there, and certainly not as though when someone's hearing the knock on the door from the ICE agents can go and look online and find out what to do. But we will certainly try as much as possible to get information available for people. And people are just really wanting to be involved. My 86-year-old mother in Atlanta is just empowered in ways that she's never been before. And every time I call her, she's telling me what Rachel Maddow's been saying, and she's calling up her congresspeople and her senators. And I'm hearing from a lot of people right now. So it's been some scary times, but I think there's been such an outpouring of activism and support, and I think this will be part of going forward, and certainly WPKN will continue to be a part of that.
Yes, for sure. I think we do have to remember that everybody, including folks who do not have documents, have some basic rights, and those are the right to remain silent, the right to request a lawyer, the right to have a due process within any within any deportation proceedings. So that's very important to do and remember and understand that if folks are faced with ICE knocking on their door, ICE cannot come in unless they have a signed warrant by a judge. A warrant signed by a judge, and that if they are taken, that they have the right to remain silent. If folks are picked up on the street, also they have the right to remain silent and not sign any papers. The right to call a lawyer and all of these things. So that's important information that would be great to have at WPKN, at the website.
What normally would happen if someone is either themselves or has someone within their household who is an undocumented immigrant, and someone comes to the door? What would normally be the procedure?
Well, they will knock on the door and they will try to get in. Usually, if they don't have a warrant with the person's name, they would just try to barge in through the door. They would intimidate, and they would ask folks for their immigration status. And they might take some collateral, collateral something, where they might, if they might be looking for someone who might no longer live at that house, they might take folks there anyways who live there, who are standing there. And this usually happens when they, in a very intimidating way, might ask them, what country are you from, if they don't speak English, they might just really intimidate them until to for them to say, you know, I'm from Ecuador. So, and that's information, that's another information for them to get picked up. They will, from then, they will not be taken to the local jail. They will be taken to a detention center. The closest detention center is in Massachusetts. And it usually takes many, many hours for folks to know where their families are. Each detainee will be given it's called an A number. It's a digit that they use to identify detainees, starting with the letter A, and that's how you track that person. But the procedure is that they take them to the detention center, and they start immediately with the deportation proceeding. And if they believe that person does not have any grounds to remain in the U.S., they will be immediately deported.
And if someone comes to the door and you say people do not have to speak, they do not have to answer questions, would they then be physically removed?
Yes and no. If they do not open the door, the ICE cannot come into the house without a warrant. So that's very important to do, is never open the door. And it really depends on how deputized or how empowered ICE feels. It seems that ICE, day by day, they feel more empowered to just pick up anybody that they feel like picking up. So it really depends on how those particular agents would act. But it's important to just make sure that people know what their basic rights are, and just to follow those steps. Right now, honestly, like, it's very hard to tell what would happen if ICE comes into your house. But what another thing that we want folks to remember is that we need to have our documents all in a very safe, secure place. Folks not to leave their house with their passports from their countries or their consular IDs or any of those things that might be used as identifiers of being undocumented. Excuse me. So those are the things. Like, right now, it's just so hard. It's such a weird and hard, difficult time that we really don't know. It really depends on how ICE might feel. But we need to make sure that we know our basic rights.
I thank you so much for speaking with me this afternoon. And you'll be here in the seat next week and possibly speaking about this issue again. We have about 30 seconds left. So why don't you one more time talk about your meeting this week?
Yes. So for everybody that's listening, we are having a meeting this Wednesday at our office. Our office is located at 850 State Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The meeting will be at 6 p.m. This Wednesday. You can find us on Facebook as Make the Road CT. That's Make the Road CT. And our website is maketheroadct.org. You can always email me. My name is Luis, L-U-I-S, .L-U-N-A, @maketheroadct.org.